Your Bibles tonight, the book of Judges, chapter number 16. Judges, chapter number 16. We're looking through, working through, as the Lord leads, the characters of the Bible. And as we study the characters in the Old Testament, we get a good synopsis and glimpse of the whole Bible. I've not said this much, but I've asked the Lord to lead me in a plan for preaching. And I believe what He'd have us to do is preaching through the Gospel of Matthew. And as you know, we're in chapter 20. I think it's very important we have, as Christians, we have a really sound understanding of the Gospels, the Gospel records, the story of Christ, redemption. And I've asked the Lord to guide us, and I think it's important we have a good idea of the whole Bible. So if we get a grip on the Gospel record of Matthew, and then we look through the characters of the Old Testament, we see how it all comes together. And I believe next the Lord will lead us to work through the book of Acts, and we'll just keep on plugging. I promise you this, as long as you preach the Bible, you never run out of anything to preach. And it's just rich and alive and wonderful. How many of you love God's Word? You say amen? Amen. And it's wonderful, isn't it? And I'm so thankful. Tonight we're going to look at the man Samson. I think there's probably a neck and neck tie between David and Samson, David and Goliath, and the story of Samson being little boy's favorite Bible characters. Everybody loves a hero. And God uses Samson in a mighty way. I love the story of Samson. The nation of Israel is in bondage to the Philistines again. And God's answer to the world's problems is to send a baby. And a man named Manoah and his wife have a child. They name him Samson. God appears and says he needs to be a Nazarite. And they took a vow that he wouldn't cut his hair, that he wouldn't touch dead bodies, that he would set himself apart for the service of the Lord. And Samson grew up the kind of the odd boy, the long-haired kid. And God had a great plan for Samson's life. He planned to use him in a mighty way. But Samson had a flesh like all men, and Samson did some things along the way that were kind of silly. We see him that some people call him the philandering judge, and no doubt he made some mistakes along the way. One of the first things we see in the story of Samson is Samson falls in love with a young woman from Timnath, a Philistine. It was wrong then, and it's wrong now, to be unequally yoked. It's not a matter of race as much as it is a matter of spiritual condition. And a Christian should not marry an unbeliever. An unbeliever should not marry a Christian. And it's important we honor this. And Samson, a man full of lust and desire, he falls in love with a woman of Timnath, a Philistine. He's betrothed to be her husband. In these days, a betrothal and a wedding and a betrothal and a marriage were often the same. They considered them to be the same. There was a season of like an engagement. And Samson, on his way to have his marriage and the marriage feast, he kills a lion with his hand. Remember, we talked about that a couple Sunday nights ago. He kills a lion, and as he makes his way home and then back again, he sees in the carcass of the lion that the honey and the bees, and out of the eater came forth meat. He comes back after a time to take his bride. He was already married, engaged, betrothed. He comes to take his bride, and he talks to his father-in-law. He says, I'm ready to take my bride, consummate this marriage. And his father-in-law said, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but, well, I kind of gave your wife away to another man. Now, that's a bad day, isn't it? But his wife's dad says, you know, her younger sister's still available. You could have her. Well, Samson does, says, no way, Jose. I don't think that's exactly what it says, but something along those lines. He says, no way. And he's angry. Who is the greatest trapper in the Bible? It has to be Samson. Because you know what Samson did? He gets so angry at the Philistines. And the truth of the matter is, the whole purpose for Samson being Samson was that there would be, the enemy of God would be conquered. He gets so mad at the Philistines that he catches 300 foxes. 300 foxes, and he ties their tails together with torches between them. That's exciting, isn't it? Sets them loose. And with 300 tail-tied foxes and torches, he burns down all the crops of the Philistines. What happens if you burn down an entire nation's crops? They get mad. They were really angry, and they say, "We're going to get Samson." And the way they go about this is they go to Judah. Judah is a nation of Israel. Judah was Samson's people. They go to Judah. The Philistines go to Judah and says, "Now, I want you to know something. Your Samson has done a terrible thing, and we're going to cause you grief until you turn him over." So with great courage, the men of Judah go to take Samson. Guess what they do? They find out where Samson's at. He's hanging out at this certain rock. And with great courage, they go and to take Samson. Guess how many people they take? 3,000. 3,000 Jews from Judah go to take Samson, their own man, and bind him and turn him over to the Philistines. So all 3,000 of them, in great courage, go to Samson and say, "Look, we're here to take you. We're going to bind you." Samson asks one question. He says, "When you bind me, are you going to kill me?" They said, "No, we're not going to kill you." He says, "Promise me you won't kill me." He said, "No, we won't kill you. We're just going to bind you up and turn you over to the Philistines." So all he says, "All right, you got a deal." So they tie him in new cords, and they carry him to the Philistines, 3,000 of them. And he meets up with 1,000 Philistines, and the 1,000 Philistines decide, "We're going to kill Samson once and for all. He's going to pay, finally, for what he did to all of our crops." The Bible says that the cords, the new cords that were wrapped around him, the ropes, became as flax which had been burnt. And his strength, the power of God comes on Samson. His strength breaks those cords away. He finds a jawbone of a donkey. If you could pick a weapon, that's not the one I'd pick. He finds the jawbone of a donkey. And with the jawbone of a donkey, Samson single-handedly slays all 1,000 of the Philistines. When he gets finished fighting, he's thirsty. This is just an interesting side note that you read in the Bible. You can read it for yourself. It's a great story. He's thirsty. He says to the Lord, "I'm thirsty. I've done this great work and I'm thirsty. Send me something to drink." And the Bible says that there was a hollow in that donkey jaw, and out of it came forth a spring of water. He took a drink, and things were good. The Philistines, the enemy of God, the people who had put God's people in bondage, the representative of sinfulness and the world and wickedness, was set at bay. And once again, the nation of Israel had rest under the leadership of our good friend Samson. 20 years. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, 20 years. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to think that God used a man, and for 20 years, the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil, the burden of the Philistines had been lifted, and for 20 years, God blessed in a mighty way the nation of Israel. The Bible says in our text, chapter number 15, verse 20, the last verse of chapter 15, going into chapter 16. The Bible says, "He judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. In my Bible, I've circled those two words, 20 years. I want to read to you chapter 16. Here's what happens. 20 years of glory, 20 years of blessing, 20 years of enjoying the privilege of the rest that God only can give. 20 years of victory, 20 years of righteousness, 20 years serving God. The Bible says in verse number 1, a very sad word, then. 20 years, then. Things changed. The Bible says, "Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. He said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. He said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like another man, any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. What a sad story. You see, we end chapter number 15, verse number 20, with he judged the nation of Israel for 20 years. That's good. God gave victory, and for 20 years, what a blessing. The Bible says, then, what happened? It all changed. The privilege, the opportunity, the rest, the peace. It went away then. The rest of Samson's story looks like this. They plucked his eyes out. The Philistines, guess what they did? They called a big feast. They called a big feast to worship their god, Dagon. And they praised their God for the victory that had been wrought. And they thanked their God, a false God, for giving them victory over Samson. Sad, isn't it? Samson, at this great feast, the Bible says there were 3,000 people on the roof of this little, of this building. The dignitaries and the who's who of the Philistines were all there. And they brought Samson, the great Samson. They had him in chains, tied, blind, his eyes plucked from his head. And they brought him in and paraded him like a humbled circus bear of some sort. The Bible says they made sport of him. And they had a little lad, just a little kid, leading the great Samson. Sad, isn't it? Mocking him. Mocking his God. Praising their God. Samson calls the little lad and says, "Son, will you take me to the main beams, the main pillars of this building, so that I can lean on them?" He goes there and leans next to the pillars and he prays to the Lord. "Lord, just one more time, give me strength. Just one more time, give me power. You might be glorified." The Bible says he took one pillar in his left hand and one pillar in his right hand, and however that was, it was like this or like this, I have no idea. The main beams and pillars of that great hall, and God gave him strength one more time, and he took those pillars and the building collapsed. And God gave victory to the nation of Israel one more time over their enemy, the Philistines. But what a sad ending to such a glorious story. What a sad ending to a glorious story. You see, the Bible shows a few things that just blows me away and brings me to a sober realization that it doesn't matter how long you've done right. We must continue to serve God. We must continue to stay away from sin. We must continue to choose Christ. We must continue to be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Do not use past experience as an excuse to fall into sin. Do not use past victories as an excuse to drop your standard or lower your concern for living for Jesus. 20 years. 20 years. The Bible concludes the story of Samson. Verse number 31. Let's back up to verse number 30. "And Samson said," chapter 16, verse 30. "Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell on the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel." How long? 20 years. Folks, I want you to know something about Samson. 20 years. 20 years. 20 years! Then, it all changed. It saddens me to know of ministries that have seen years and years of effective service for God then. Troubles me to see preachers who've had years and years of service, faithful service, then. It breaks my heart to see families, marriages, 20, 30 years, then. It breaks my heart to see young people who in 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, they honor the Lord and please the Lord then. or young people who graduated from high school, burdened to live for Jesus, determined to do what's right, saying no to sin, and they go off to college, then we should never use the past as an excuse to take our guard down for the present. We should never use past victories as a license for sin. But you know what Samson did? Samson, for 20 years, did the right thing as far as we can tell. Then. He seems to get by with his first sin, but look what the Bible says in verse 1. Then, where did it begin? It didn't begin with Delilah, by the way. Delilah was the end all. It didn't begin with Delilah. It began then. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with him, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. What did he do? After 20 years, the Bible says, then he goes to Gaza and meets a harlot. Aha! After 20 years, the Philistines had forgotten about him burning all the crops, right? No! After 20 years, he didn't have any more enemies left, right? And that's not true. After 20 years of doing the right thing, he didn't have to worry. He could do whatever he wanted to. After 20 years of great victory, after 20 years of great success, after 20 years, he didn't have anything to worry about. That is incorrect. He needed to be sober, and the devil was waiting and lying in wait, waiting on Samson to fall, because the devil hates when Christian people are experiencing the blessing of God. And we need to be reminded that there can be a then in our lives. You're not exempt. I'm not exempt. And guess what? When we read the first few verses of this chapter, Delilah hasn't happened yet. When we read the first few verses of the chapter, Delilah doesn't have to happen. He gets himself in a big mess, but he actually gets out of it. He goes into a harlot. The people of the city say, ha-ha, we saw Samson coming into town, and we know where he went. And we'll just wait right here. We'll lock up the city tight. And in the morning, when it's light, we're going to kill him. So what did Samson do? I'll show you. I'm above your laws. I'm above your trouble. And Samson, when they lock the city gates, about midnight he leaves his harlot and he goes to the city gates, these giant gates with the bar and the side post and everything, and he picks them up and puts them on his shoulder, the gates for the entire city. You imagine them as big as you want to imagine them, and he's carrying them. And he just pops the big gates off of those city walls and carries them on his back, all the way to the top of the hill in Hebron. Boy, I'm something else. He gets proud. He gets arrogant. He says, I've had one rendezvous and a night of sin. I fulfilled the lust of my flesh and nothing happened. And so I don't have anything to worry about. I'm Samson. But that's not how it ever happens. That's not how it ever works. I'm old enough for this. I'm strong enough for this. You know, I've done this before and I didn't get caught. Don't let the devil deceive you. We all have the potential for a then. I want you to know something. If you've turned your back on God, you've embraced sin, you've done the wrong thing, and you're here tonight, God has given you another opportunity. He has given you an opportunity. You had your then, and you've messed up, and you've done the wrong thing, but I want to encourage you to do something. Just because you messed up doesn't mean you should continue. It does not mean that you've gotten by with it. It does not mean that you will not suffer the penalty of your sin or the consequences. But it does mean if you're at church on Sunday night after you've sinned against God, even after a long period of time, it does mean that God in love has given you another chance to repent. God in love has given you another chance to turn to Him. God in love has given you a chance to wake up and realize, hey, whoa, I've stepped out of line and I better get back in my relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ immediately. Then, look what happens next. Oh, to the Lord, if we wish that Samson had carried those gates and fallen under conviction of his sin and repented. Who knows? It didn't have to end there. 20 years could have been 21 or 22 or 23. God gave him a chance to change when his then happened. Look what the Bible says next in verse number 4. And it came to pass afterward. So after this deal with the harlot and the city gates, afterward. I wish that we could read here and it said, afterward Samson repented of his sin, began to righteously judge the nation of Israel again, because we know God forgives people of even heinous sins. And God uses people who've done terrible things. God loves us and He accepts our repentance. Would to God we could say that afterwards Samson straightened his life out. But that's not what happened. He carried the gates of the city wall. And the further he carried, the more arrogant and proud he got in his own ability, in his own strength, in his own might that God had given him. He's like, I'm carrying these gates. He drops them off. He's afterward. I didn't get caught there. I didn't get in trouble there. No man has any authority over me. The Bible says afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Whose name was Delilah. I'm not going to read all this again, but Delilah. What did Delilah do? Samson was head over heels in love with Delilah. And no doubt Delilah acted like she was head over heels in love with Samson until a better deal came along. The people, the Philistines, they said, hey, we see you and Samson have got a little thing going there. We'll give you 1,500 pieces of silver if you'll find out wherein his strength lies. And she's like, cha-ching, I can find another strong guy. Samson's not going to give me 1,500 pieces. All right, I'll find out. So Samson and Delilah are lying around the house, and Delilah pooches out her lips and bats her eyes. And honey, sweetie pie, whatever it took, Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And so Samson, he's like, I can play this game. And Samson says to her, well, if you bind me with green withes that have never been dried, that's the secret. And I'll be just as weak as another man. And so guess what? Delilah says, all right, guys, he told me what's going on. Green withes, bring them. Green withes. Cords, green cords, bring them. Well, they bring them. Do you think that Samson would realize that as soon as he discloses to Delilah, it's a lie, as soon as he discloses to Delilah what his great weakness is, that it just automatically shows up there in their room? You think he'd snap out of it and realize, hey, maybe she's trying to hurt me. But he doesn't. He was blind. She ties him with the green withes. The Bible says there's Philistines. There's actually Philistines lying in wait in the chamber, in their bedroom. There's dudes hiding out in the bedroom. And Philistine and Samson, the big dumb galoot, doesn't even know it. She ties him up with green withes, cords. She says, "Samson." I'm sure it sounded just like that too. "The Philistines." Well, he stands up and boom, breaks the cords loose. Everything settles down a little bit, and Delilah says in verse 10, "Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies." You know what? She puts a guilt trip on him. "You've mocked me and told me lies." She put a guilt trip on the guy she's trying to kill. That's wicked. And the weirdest thing about it is Samson doesn't ever realize it. What a bonehead. So she does it again. She's like, "You've mocked me. Tell me how you might be bound." So he says, "Okay, I withheld some information. It's actually new ropes. If you'll just get new ropes that never were occupied, then you can have it." So, boom, like that. Delilah says, "Hey guys, send me some new ropes." She ties him up again. "The Philistines are here." Boom, he breaks them. "You lied and mocked me." A third time. Same thing. It happens a third time. He said, this time, she says, "I love you." Verse 15. She said unto him, I'm sorry, the third time, he says, "All right, here's what you do. If you'll just tie my hair up in a web." I don't know exactly what this looks like, but somehow it was connected to a great beam. She says, "If you'll tie my hair up in a great web." So they're laying around the bedroom, and guess what she does? The withes, the green withes, the new ropes. And now she weaves his hair into a beam so that he can't defend himself, supposedly. She says, "The Philistines!" He stands up, and when he stands up with his hair, he picks up whatever kind of big beam is connected to him. And once again, she pooches her lips out, and, "You say you love me." Verse number 15, she said to him, "How canst thou say I love thee?" I want you to know something. There was no love involved. It was lust. It was sin. It was wickedness. Delilah, here's the truth. Delilah was in it for what Delilah could get out of it. And Samson was in the relationship for what Samson could get out of it. There was love nowhere close. Do not confuse lust and love. Lust leads to destruction. Love is something that God gives and puts in our hearts. It's something that is giving and faithful. It's not what Delilah calls for. He says, "How can you say, I love thee," verse 15, "when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." And it came to pass when she pressed him daily. Here's the sad thing. Samson stayed with Delilah. She's tied him up three times, and he's still with her. The Bible calls him a big dumb ox. I'll show you here in just a second. She pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed to death. He got tore up about it. The Bible says in verse number 17, he told her all his heart and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head. For I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Verse 19, she made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him. Who afflicted him? She did. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And the Bible says something that's so sad at the end of verse 20. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't even know that God was gone. He didn't even know that God was gone. In his then, he had an opportunity to repent and turn. But afterward, he fell headlong in sin and fell into this trap and snare of Delilah. Afterward, he knew better. He knew better. And when his head was shaved, and he stood up to shake himself to fight off his enemies, he didn't even know God was gone. You know what's sad? It is so possible for us to live in sin, attend church, do the things we've always done, and not even realize that we don't have the power of God anymore. Oh, may we avoid the sin that does so easily beset us at all costs. May we live soberly. May we be vigilant, because I want you to know something. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to cut your effectiveness short. He wants to turn what God can do with a Samson for 30 or 40 or 50 years. Who knows how long? There were other judges that judged 80 and more. 80, I think Gideon was the longest one. The Bible says 20 years. 20 years then. 20 years then. It blows my mind. What happened? Samson continued in his sin. The cost was great. Folks, I want you to know something. Sin blinds us. Sin causes us to give our confidence and allegiance to the wrong people. It's so sad. But if you continue in your sin, young people, you'll determine that you don't love your parents or that your parents don't love you. You live in sin and you'll give your allegiance to some foolish teacher that is anti-God and anti-parent and anti-righteousness. Because if you live in sin, guess what happens? You give your allegiance to people who do not love you. What did Samson do over and over again? He laid his head right in the lap of the woman that would ruin and take his life. You live in sin, and you give your allegiance and to people you wouldn't ever give your allegiance to if you're in your right mind. Sin. Sin makes us ignorant of what's really happening. You'd think a man like Samson would realize there's dudes laying around in the bedroom. You'd think a man like Samson would learn after the first or second time of Delilah attempting to do what he said it was that would ruin his life. But we become ignorant and blind. Sin causes us to lose God's power and not even realize it. 20 years. Where are you? Where are you? I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop here. I want to keep living for the Lord. I want to keep investing in the lives of other people. But I'll tell you something, if I've come to a then where Satan has tempted me or where I've fallen or where I've made a mistake and I'm here and I'm like, oh, I better straighten up. When you come to your then, you need to realize, hey, God has given me another chance. You need to repent of your sin, turn from your wicked way, begin to live for Christ. You'll not regret it. And your afterward should look like afterward. After they realized how bad they'd messed up, they did the right thing. And the years of effective ministry, the years of effective living, the years of being an effective part of the lives of their families, the years that were ahead, afterward, they were great because God is willing to forgive and His grace is sufficient. It's wonderful. Or your afterward can be like Samson's. Afterward, Delilah came along. The book of Proverbs, the Bible said this, Proverbs 7, verse number 22. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. What did God say about a man like Samson? He said he's just continued in his sin, in his arrogance, in his pride, as an ox to the slaughter. As an ox to the slaughter. What's God say about you? This warning of sexual sin. We need to be careful. But the warning goes further than just sexual perversion or sin. It's to all of us. The sin that does so easily beset you. To continue in that sin. To continue in that sin makes the story of your afterward. It'll look like Samson's. Where are you today? 5 years faithfully serving the Lord. 25 years faithfully serving the Lord. Been married 20 years. Where are you in your service to the Lord? I'll just have you know something. If you continue in your sin, the chances are really good that this is your last year. Your last chance. What happened to Samson? 20 years. Awesome. Boom. Just like that. Then he threw away the potential for years and years of effective service. Why? Because he continued in sin. May God help us to learn from this man, Samson. Let's pray.